Monsoon season can wreak havoc on your trees.
These trees are a travesty.
Shade in Arizona is prime real estate. Find out how to care for your trees. We're out in the yard with certified arborist John Eisenhower with Integrity Tree Service. Call 1-888-ROSIE-4U.
I think the trees around Arizona are pretty happy today. This is exactly the kind of weather they like, just enough to get the big, big drink without any of the big, big blow and tearing up limbs and destroying trees and throwing them down across our streets and roadways. So we're here with John Eisenhower talking trees at Rosie on the House. Thanks for joining us. Where are we going next?
Well, you know, we didn't get any of those winds. Did you hear that Reno or... parts of California, we're getting 140 mile an hour winds.
Yeah. We got none of that. And we like these nice, deep, soaking rains because they do make it easy to put a shovel in the ground. You talked about putting a couple trees in the ground, Romy.
Yeah, I've got to replace a couple apple trees and a pomegranate tree that our chickens, once they're done laying, we let them free range out in the yard, and they'll get around the irrigation line and they'll scratch. And on the younger trees that we had planted, they scratch all the way to the root and killed a couple. So when it rained, I just think, well, what easier time to dig than now?
Well, as soil temperatures start to drop, it's not a really great time to plant evergreens because you're essentially putting a potted plant in the ground for the next few months.
I do have an orange that I lost to frost, and I've got the below the graft, the rootstock coming up. Mm-hmm. So I've got to yank that one out and replant, but leave that one alone for now.
Yeah, don't replace the citrus or any of your evergreen trees right now because the soil temperatures start to drop. There's very little root activity, and you might as well just wait until spring. That being said, deciduous trees can be planted this time of year. It's a great time, in fact, to plant bare-rooted plants, your bare-root roses, your bare-root fruit trees like your stone fruits, your almonds, your plums, your apricots, your apples. That's a great time to put those in the ground now. And what a better weekend to put a shovel in the ground and you may
not even break a sweat.
You may not. I love working this time of year. We live for this kind of, for this time of year. We console ourselves that, this time of year is just around the corner as we're working our way through 100-degree October, knowing that in December we'll have at least a couple of months where we can work outdoors without having to be sweating.
And in addition to planting, it's also a great time for pruning deciduous.
Yes. You can not only plant, but you can prune your deciduous trees this time of year. We were talking about pomegranates earlier. Pomegranates are a deciduous shrub, and your deciduous shrubs can be pruned this time of year. And all of those deciduous trees, basically your deciduous trees are the ones that have lost their leaves, like your jacaranda, which isn't fully deciduous. If you have a mild winter, semi-deciduous trees like jacarandas keep their leaves. But it's a good time to be trimming those deciduous trees in both December and January.
And what kind of trim are we looking for? Just to take out excess growth? Are we trying to control size? Are we taking out dead wood?
Well, it's the same reason you'd prune other trees. Your end weight reduction. If you have some areas of the tree that are too dense, you might do a little bit of thinning. And of course, dead wood removal. Removing crossing branches, parallel branches, branches with narrow angles of attachment. On your younger trees that have just gone in the ground in the last couple of years, we like to do what we call structural pruning. That is, just take out branches that don't have a future to establish good structure so that when the tree puts on new foliage in the coming years, it puts it on in all the right places. We try to prune so there's nice separation between branches. So, as I said, you have a nice scaffold spread branches in your main scaffold so that in the next couple of years, that's going to support a lot of increasing growth. And hopefully that tree will live to be 25 years without structural issues that you'll be dealing with 5 or 10 years from now because you didn't deal with them now.
Now, Jesse, when y'all get to a tree that has grown into power lines or needs pruning, and we've all seen it driving down the road where half the tree is hacked off or whacked off or it's got a big cut right in the middle for the power lines to go through, what does that do to the tree? I mean, obviously they're still there, so is it shortening the life?
Well, what we categorize that as directional pruning. There's research and science that validates that type of pruning style. It's not very sightly. I would agree that it is unsightly, where you have half a tree or a quarter of the tree missing after we've pruned them. You know, that's a result of not putting the right tree in the right place. Unfortunately, again, when power lines and trees have to share the same area, we have to make sure that the power lines are free from those encroaching branches that will potentially cause a power outage or some type of a conflict.
Do y'all ever have to completely remove a tree?
Actually, we recommend removal quite often. Again, remove a tree that's going to constitute continual maintenance. Again, we always have that risk of power outage and fires. Complete removal of the tree and replant. We encourage folks to replant. Take one tree out, replant two trees, but plant the right tree in the right place so that you don't have those future conflicts going forward.
You know, I've had complaints from time to time in my pruning seminars that I teach with people saying, oh, the power company came and they just wrecked my tree. And in defense of the utility industry, I personally know people like Jesse, who are certified arborists. They're well-trained in how to prune trees properly. But when it comes to trying to make clearance to provide safe a safe distance so that the power can continue in our neighborhoods and the neighborhoods can be safe, they have to do what they have to do. The option is to take a tree down. So if you have the option of either removing the tree or trimming it and maintaining it at a safe distance, sometimes it requires to make some pretty drastic pruning cuts. But these line clearance trimmers are trained to do the very best they can to keep the health of the tree in mind as they make those pretty heavy pruning cuts.
Yeah, nobody likes to see a tree that they have liked seeing and looking and beautiful removed. But those people who complain, I bet if you turn their power off a week later, they'd get over it pretty quick. Let's go to Joyce and Chandler at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE4U. Joyce, welcome to the program.
Hi. I have a navel orange tree, and it has a lot of fruit on it, but they're small and they're turning orange. I'm not native to this area. So when do you generally harvest oranges?
Well, we have several varieties of oranges in the valley, and they all ripen at different times. I believe the navels are one of the very first to ripen in the season. They should be sweet enough to eat about this time of year. We have others that don't ripen until February, March, even April. But the best way to test is to go ahead and open and, you know, peel a fruit and taste it, see how good it is. Something to keep in mind, though, is fruit color does not determine ripeness. Interestingly, the fruit citrus actually turns color as a function of temperature change. So as the temperatures start to drop and get colder, the fruit will often ripen up. So if we have a very mild winter and some pretty high temperatures going into the winter, your fruit may not turn orange as quickly, or your lemons turn yellow for quite a while. And they may very well be sweet, but they just haven't turned color yet. So don't let color be your determining factor when you're ready to eat that fruit.
Got to pick it and test it.
That's right.
Well, congratulations. Welcome to the area. Let's move to Phil and Chandler, who wants to talk
about... Hi, how you guys doing? Thanks for my call.
Go ahead.
Hi. My wife and I are doing some landscaping in our yard. We got a brand new house. We have a pool in the backyard. I've had quite a few landscapers over with different recommendations for trees and palm trees. Last recommendation was a couple of pistache trees. And as far as the palm goes, we have basically enough room for one large palm and two small palms. We were going to do the pygmy date palm. And then for the large palm tree, we were recommended the pindo palm. But everything I read about the pindo palm, they say that it has a lot of fruit and it can be problems around pools. Just looking for recommendation for, pool-friendly trees. And we're also doing some shrubs as well.
And you were talking pistachio and a lot of palms. Are these trees that you are that you want? You want that tropical look, or this is just what has been recommended?
We would love the tropical look, but we also, you know, I also want something that is going to be friendly around the tree. The landscaper said that, you know, these things drop basically once a year as far as the pistache trees, and I've had a couple different recommendations for palm trees, but they all have, you know, of course, positives and negatives.
on a tropic setting. What do you think, John?
Well, I would certainly stay away from a queen palm. They typically have some problems in our climate and our soil here. The pinto palm, like other palms, like the Mexican fan palms, and a lot of the dates as well, the Phoenix dactylifera, our date palm that grows commonly here, they all have fruit, and those fruit can be a problem, but it's only once a year. So I always look at it that way. No matter how much fruit a palm tree produces, it's only going to be sending out those seed pods, during a 3 or 4 week period of time. And once they've fully emerged, you can remove them once and you're done. So I wouldn't let that necessarily be a limiting factor on choosing that pinto palm, because that is a beautiful palm. They're not real common. If you can find a nice specimen, and I think that'd be a good choice for around a pool.
And the pistachio tree.
Pistachio, awesome. I've just put one in my yard a few years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, and it's doing great. It's probably 15, 20 feet tall now, and it's got 15 or 20 foot spread, and it's great. It's a really good selection. If you get the red push variety, that is a especially dramatic fall color tree, so a good choice.
Well, there you go, Phil. Good luck on your landscape development. As you continue to have questions, call us in, 1-888-767-4348. We'll continue to give the best advice we can. Bob in Sun City Festival, welcome.
Well, good morning.
Yes, sir.
I was told that a Brazilian pepper would handle the frost real well. So I purchased a Brazilian pepper. It had about a 2 to 3 inch trunk. It was probably about 8 feet tall. And 2 or 3 years ago, when the frost was extended cold, it froze. And I thought, well, it's not dead, I don't think. But the branches were brittle, and I let it set for a year, and it looked, well, all the leaves fell off. It looked terrible. So my gardener says, let's just cut it off at the ground and see what'll happen. So we did that.
And has anything happened?
It has 5 branches from that trunk that are about 4 feet tall.
All right. We'll see what we can do about it right after this.